All right, man, what a blast to be here. This is so awesome to see what God is doing in your church. There's a lot of people here. This is awesome. Man, I have such great memories from Columbus, being a Buckeye fan and being ordained in Columbus. I actually got married to my wife in Columbus, and there's many more great memories. I did not say I owned that court. I said I got owned on those courts. Yes. A lot of good basketball players down there. So did you guys have a good time hearing from Matthew last night, Matthew McClure? Yes, he is one of my favorites. I love hearing him preach. And you got to hear last night about what it means to be invited into this kingdom. You know, when we think about God's kingdom and you know, God, let your kingdom come and let your will be done. You know, when we talk about being a part of this kingdom, part of this whole retreat this weekend is you understanding what are you being invited to and what does that look like? When we say, let your kingdom come, your will be done, you know, you're being invited into this amazing place. And this morning, I get to share on one of my favorite topics. I love preaching on all these different things in the Word of God, but this morning, I'm going to talk to you about relationships. I'm going to talk to you about what does this kingdom community look like for each one of us. And this kingdom community and these relationships that God wants us to have with one another is completely different than probably what most of us have grown up with or what we've thought about relationships. So I'm super excited to be here. I was just at up in Sandusky last night with the Bowling Green Retreat up at Kalahari. So I'm a little punchy right now because I got up at 6 a.m. to drive down here. I was hanging out with those guys. They send their love and say hi to all of you. So bear with me this morning as I try to hopefully wake up and let that coffee kick in. So let me pray, and we're going to be talking a lot of Hebrews 10. If you have a Bible, you can turn there, but the verses will come up, and we're going to make several points out of Hebrews chapter 10. Lord, we thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for this opportunity to be in your presence. God, thank you for that song that we were just singing about. You've brought us to life. You've opened up our eyes. And we love you, Lord. Lord, we could have sang that 100 times over and over again. Lord, we are so thankful for what you've done in our lives. And what you want to do, the deep love that you want to deposit in our hearts so that we can pour out that love with one another. Oh God, would you do that this morning? Would you pour out your love inside of our hearts? Lord, would you help a love well up inside of us for each other? We need your Spirit to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I did not get married till I was 30 years old, a little bit older than most people. And all through my you know, early years and into my 20s, I had a lot of roommates. I had a lot of awesome roommates. My parents had bought this house in college, and so it was kind of like a hub for the church, and all these different men would live in this house. And when I was engaged to my wife, and getting to be, you know, right around 30 years old, I thought, man, I have lived with so many guys. I decided I wanted to tally up all the guys that I lived with. So I grew up with 5 brothers. I have no sisters. So I included my dad and my brothers, all the guys through college, all the LTs, all through my 20s. I was just making this long list of all these men that I'd lived with. And believe it or not, I had lived with 55 men. At one time or another. It was incredible. I wrote down every one of their names. The first thought that came to my mind is, wow, that is a lot of stinky guys that I lived with. And I was thinking, now I'm going to get to live with this one woman who smells really good. So I was so excited about that. But then as I began reflecting on what God had done in my life through all of these men, tears came to my eyes. As I thought about the blessing that every one of them was to me. And I was really fortunate because a lot of these houses that I lived in and these situations that I was in, these guys wanted kingdom community. We were not just roommates. We wanted to be deep into each other's lives, praying for each other, talking through issues, loving each other, challenging each other. And every one of them deposited something beautiful inside of me that was a reflection of God. You know, they talk about these rock concerts where back in the old days when they would just open up the gates and people would rush into these really big concerts. I have older brothers that were in rock bands, and they would tell me about these concerts that you would go to, and it was so crowded that you would just be mashed together, and the crowd would literally lift you off of your feet. My brother said he went to a Who concert one time, and he said he was so frightened, the crowd pressed in so tightly that his feet were touching the ground about every 20 yards. He was just being carried by this mass of people. And that rush that he had of just being carried by the people was exhilarating. And I want to just tell you, I am so thankful before God that all of these men in my life, I feel in many ways, have lifted me to the place where I am. There's so many situations that I'm thankful for in my life, my relationship with God, my relationship with my wife and my ministry and everything that I do, where I barely feel like my feet have touched the ground every 20 yards. But this community of people has been carrying me along. Because when I read the verses and when these men and women in my life read these verses, we take them to heart. We say, God, let this be our life. Let this be our relationship to what glorifies you. We were made for relationships. You've probably heard that many times before, but God did not wire you to live your life alone. God did not wire you to become a Christian and come into this kingdom and now just kind of go through it all by yourself. He wants you to get really close with some people around you to go through this life. When I think of my kids, I have a picture here of my two youngest ones. Very cute, aren't they? And I am always encouraged with how well they get along. They help each other with their homework, and they play together, and they just have an amazing time. The one on the left is Bella. That's my middle child, and Max is the little one there. Don't they just look happy? Don't you want relationships like that where they're just hugging and happy? Every once in a while, very rarely, they get in a huge fight, and they're really mad at each other. And this usually lasts about, 2 minutes. We'll usually tell them, hey, why don't you guys both go on your beds and just think about it. And after, 2 minutes, they come out and they say, hey, can we play together? We don't like this. They just have an amazing relationship. And, you know, when I think of us and I see it in them, the longing that they have, we want to have this closeness with us in our friendships. That when we're apart, even for a couple minutes, or conflict comes in, we want to be people that quickly resolve it. We want to be people that quickly come back together to do what God has for us. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. I'll read this whole passage, and then we're going to take it little bit by little bit. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The first thing that we see here at the top of this, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. The first command that we pull out of this for this kingdom community is, even though we're always thinking about how to just get through life on our own and for ourselves and what's going on in our lives, we're supposed to be considering how we can help one another and spur one another on. If I asked you to just take 10 seconds right now and just consider, how can you encourage someone in your life right now? Is there anyone in your life, just literally take 10 seconds, is there anyone discouraged, anyone that has any need in your life? Have you considered how you might encourage them with a letter or a word or a compliment or to serve them or something like that. And I would like you to write that down right now. I bet all of you can think of something right now. Consider how you might spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And letting this be a habit in your life, because we need to help one another. We need to help one another. And start having the thoughts of pleasing ourselves and helping ourselves start diminishing, and having how we're loving each other and helping each other rising up in the frequency of our minds. I really mean this, and I believe this with all of my heart. There is someone struggling in your sphere, in your realm. Maybe even it's a prayer that they have. God, would you make this happen in my life? Would you help me with this? And I believe that you could be the answer to that prayer. Do you know that God wants to use you to be the answer to somebody else's prayer? I don't know if you've ever thought that before. That is a pretty high honor from the God Almighty. That there's someone praying for something, and God's pointing to you. He says, here's my answer right here. This person is going to listen to me. They're going to hear from me, and they're going to go and consider how they can spur this other person on, and that is going to be the answer to that prayer. You can be the answer to somebody's prayer. When we're considering how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, we all start just becoming better and better because we all have each other's backs. We're not just looking out for ourselves. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. This has probably been one of the more important verses in my life. Knowing that we aren't this finished product at all, but we are going to be sharpening one another. And if you imagine iron sharpening iron, you're going to see some sparks, aren't you? There's going to be sparks shooting off as iron sharpens iron. As you are being polished, as you are being refined through these relationships, as you're being made into the image of God, being made into the image that God has intended you to, this isn't always an easy process. But there's sparks shooting off. And that's totally normal. That's how it should be. Man, I think of the guys that I've lived with that challenged me in so many different ways. Challenged me in my knowledge of the scriptures. Challenged me in my walk with God in my prayer. Challenged me in my purity. Challenged me in how I eat and how I exercise. Times when I was overcome with irritation or anger, and guys challenged me in how I should talk to somebody. How my wife challenges me and makes me twice as good as I ever would have been. Those are times that honestly can be so difficult and so humbling. You know, I was just meeting with, it's funny, you guys were talking about the well and the 112 partners. We had enough people at the University of Toledo, where I am now, that they needed me to be a 112 partner to this grad student. And he's this really smart kid, and they asked me to meet with him and hang out with him. And I thought, yeah, sure, I'll get with this younger guy. He's 20 years younger than me, okay? And I thought, yeah, I'll just go and I'll deposit all this wisdom on him. And we got together and we started talking. And I just thought, well, I'll model some openness. So I just kind of confessed something to him about, you know, needing to be more organized and procrastinating. And I just wanted to be more faithful in my life. And this guy kind of went into like a 10-minute sermon on how I needed to be more organized and what kind of things that I could do. And he just kept going and going and going. And in my pride, I was like, who is this dude? What? Does he know who I am? I just started having all these really negative thoughts. And I was driving home from that appointment, and I was like, who in the heck does that kid think he is giving me this advice? And man, as I was driving, I thought of this verse. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And God just really convicted me at that moment. God said, was he right? Is what he was saying true in your life? And it was just really humbling for me to accept that. And I can't tell you how many times in life people are going to challenge you. And they're going to have really important things for you to hear. And your pride is going to want to drive you apart. Which comes to our second point. Is when these sparks are flying off in these relationships, don't let conflict drive you apart. God wants to build this kingdom community. And the second part that we're going to read out of this Hebrews 10 is that this conflict that we have that's totally normal can drive you apart. It says, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. When conflict happens in your relationship, it can bring in all kinds of emotions. For some of you, you grew up in a family where you never really saw conflict resolved very well. And I say this a lot to your generation, that for some reason you seem very afraid of conflict resolution. I'm not sure how you personally feel about that, and I'm stereotyping your whole generation, but what I see is that you really hate conflict. You will avoid it to all means, not believing that conflict can bring you into deeper intimacy. Conflict is what brings you into the deeper parts of your heart and that person's heart. That's when you're getting down to the really good stuff. And when you resolve that and you figure that out and you understand each other and you talk through, you're going to have a greater relationship. That's the kingdom community. If you are in a friendship and you have had no significant conflict yet, I hate to say this to you, but you really don't have a really awesome kingdom deep relationship yet. Some of the best relationships in my life have had significant conflict. And it is so humbling to be in conflict with one another where you can't even resolve it. And it's so bad and you're so hurt and you're so angry and you're so upset and you just want to give up on this relationship. But the Holy Spirit's dwelling inside of you saying, I don't want you to let go of this relationship. I know you want to. I know you want to run. You want to flee. You don't want this person in your life. But I'm not going to release you until you resolve this conflict. And I've had this at least three times in my life where we've had to bring in a mediator just to try to resolve this conflict. Oh, man, it is brutal. It is brutal. And you might look up here and you think of the pastors and you think of staff and you think, oh, wow, these people are just always, you know, in the spirit. And they just always have great relationships and they just all get along so well. And for most part, that is true. But as the years go on and you're leading with one another and you're trying to do something great together for God, you can be assured that Satan is going to bring conflict in to try to separate you, to derail the train. And when you have something awesome going on in your life spiritually, where maybe in your small groups or in your church or in your dorm, and you're trying to overcome sin, and you really have some momentum going spiritually in your life with your community, that's the time that Satan is going to come in and he's going to start whispering lies to you about someone else to create conflict. And here's what I love about Jesus. Here's what I love about the scriptures is the very goal that he has to split you up is the tool that God uses to do a 180 with that and say, no, I'm not going to use this conflict to drive them apart. I'm going to use this conflict to make them even deeper with one another, to make them love one another even more. And you know, when those mediators have come in and helped me work through things, and there's just been tears and so many conversations, and I've walked away from those with a deeper understanding of who that person is, and you feel loved because they have that deeper understanding of you. And if those people that I'm talking about walked in the room right now, I would embrace them. I would love to see them. I have warm feelings about them because of this valley that we went through, because that relationship, those relationships glorify God to me. That is not what happens in the world. In the world, people give up. They slander each other. They gossip. They get divorces. They go to a different church. Or churches split because they say, no, this must not have been meant, you know, it's not meant to be, or it wouldn't be this hard. Okay, that is a huge lie. That is a giant misconception. Iron sharpens iron, so one sharpens another. This is not always going to be easy. So don't be surprised or bummed out by the sparks in your relationship. 1 Peter 4:12 reminds us of this. It says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." Have you guys had recent conflicts with a roommate, a good friend, boyfriend, girlfriend, small groups, leaders, whatever, and you've thought, like, wow, I didn't see this coming. I'm shocked. I'm surprised. After all these years, I'm still shocked and surprised that I have conflict with people. It still hasn't sunk into my mind. He says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come as though something strange were happening." This is normal. Really good relationships are going to have fights. But as you work through it, God is going to be glorified, and you're going to get into the deep stuff, the good stuff.
All right. We're back.
I'm back. All right. Back in the saddle again. Here we go. All right, any of you guys love football? Yes, I love football. Big football fan. So it's football season, and I'm a football fan, so I'm going to give you a football analogy. Okay, you guys know that when a team is judged on their offense and trying to score, a lot of times whether they win or lose this game is based on what they do on third down. You know that, right? Third down's like a really big down. And if some of you are here and you have no idea what I'm talking about, I'll take 30 seconds to explain it. You've got four tries to try to get 10 yards, okay? First down, you know, you do move the ball. Second down, you move. Third down, let's say it's third and three. Okay, this is the big down. You know, the crowd starts getting loud and it's exciting, and they don't get this on third down. Then on fourth down, they have to punt the ball away to the other team. So a lot of times a team's victories depend on how effective they are on third down. So let's say it's Ohio State, you know, Michigan, and Ohio State's driving and it's third down and three and they really need to score, and they decide they're going to punt the ball on... Yeah, right? No, what? You don't punt on third down? You know, you throw a little screenplay, or you run a draw, or you just do something special, try to get that first down. You don't punt on third down. Don't punt on third down. They would fire the coach, right? Here's my challenge for you. In relationships, many of you punt on third down. Third down is the crucial down. When someone hurts your feelings, when someone looks at you the wrong way, when there's miscommunication, when they offend you, they do something that, whether on purpose or not, they've hurt you. You're disappointed in this relationship. Guess what? That's third down. This is make or break in the kingdom relationship. God does not want you to punt. That's when he wants you to get with them one-on-one, not through all the relationships of gossip or telling everybody else about it. Getting one-on-one with them and say, something's wrong in our relationship. Let's work this out. That is so glorifying to God. And that ticks off the enemy so much. When you dive in there to start reconciling. The third thing that we need to do in these kingdom relationships, going back to Hebrews 10, is to encourage each other to do great things. To encourage each other to do great things. One of the most disappointing experiences that I've ever had was right out of college. I was a high school science teacher. And my very first job was down on the Mexican border in Texas. It was like living in Mexico. If you know anything about the valley in Texas, it's kind of like living in Mexico. And the Hispanic teachers told us, here's a big problem that you're going to encounter in this school. I don't know if it was just that town or a Hispanic thing or just what was going on. But he said, if any kid tries to rise above mediocrity, the other kids will tear them down. And we are trying really hard to raise the bar of excellence in this school, but the very culture does not allow them to get A's and to do a really good job because the other kids in this school would tear them down because they made them feel bad about themselves. And it broke my heart that whole year teaching, seeing some kids really trying and seeing kids with potential and just thinking about all that they could do in the future, to think the very community that they lived in did not want them to succeed in great ways. It was truly heartbreaking. You and I need to guard ourselves against tearing down others because we're threatened by that. But we need to be doing the very opposite, encouraging one another to do great things. In Hebrews 10, it says, encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. There's this day, capital D, the day. That means like the end of the world. When Jesus comes back, there's going to be this day. And you in this community, we're trying to accomplish some things, some great things for God. We need to be encouraging each other to do these amazing things because we're going to have so many doubts inside of ourselves. One of my biggest problems in my life was insecurities, having such low confidence in myself. And when I think of these 55 men that I lived with, they were constantly trying to have me have more confidence and say, no, Matt, that's not true about yourself. You can do great things. Don't think negatively about yourselves. You and I are going to have negative thoughts in our minds, even about ourselves, doubts, tearing ourselves down. And we as a community need to come together and fight against that. And it's amazing when we come together and we give each other encouragement, we give each other confidence, we can do far more than we ever thought. You know, I have these two dogs, these puppies, that I see this point in so clearly. It's amazing. Okay, here's all three of my kids. And see those little two puppies right there? We just moved into this new house, a new farmhouse that we're fixing up last year. And we told the kids when we moved there, we would buy these puppies for them. So we went and we bought these puppies. Do you guys think they're cute? Okay, you guys look tired. I'm going to talk faster. All right, these puppies are hunters. They're Westies, West Highland Terriers. And these dogs are crazy aggressive.
Not toward kids. They love our kids. But toward other animals, they will kill everything. And because there's two of them, it is so cute to watch them. Like, they build off each other's confidence. Okay? They're brothers. They've been together since birth. They're like not separable. We separate them into separate rooms or when they're getting a bath or something. They're like completely anxious. They freak out when they're not next to each other. It's really adorable. They love being next to each other. They hunt together. They sleep together. They eat together. And most of the time, they go to the bathroom at the same time. It's crazy. They're very close. But every once in a while, they'll encounter a larger animal. Like a couple weeks ago, a groundhog in our yard. A groundhog is much bigger than these dogs, okay? They're small dogs. And the groundhogs, man, they have some crazy mean teeth. And I was watching my dogs attack this groundhog. And the dogs were like next to each other, and they're always doing this. My puppies, they're looking at each other like, are we doing this? Are we doing this? And they're like looking at each other, getting confidence to go hunt together. It's awesome. It's totally awesome. We love watching it, and we love their aggression, except when they kill kittens, which unfortunately, yeah, I knew you weren't going to like that. They found kittens in our barn, and that was not pretty. That wasn't much of a match. There wasn't much confidence needed to kill the kittens. But to see them go up against the groundhog is pretty cool. These dogs like a pack. They get a lot of energy from each other. You and I are going to get a lot of energy to do the things that God is pushing us to do. And when I'm alone in my life and I'm isolated, I am so lacking in confidence. And my thoughts go awry so quickly. But as we are pulled together, we're going to be able to do great things together. We're a team. Listen to what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. A little bit later in the chapter. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The Bible is telling us here that we as a church, we as a group of believers, we are like one body. We all have different parts on that body. In this chapter, it talks about the ear and the eye and the hand and all these different parts that work together to accomplish something. And they're all very important parts of the body. One of the reflection questions that I have for you, as you're going to just be taking this with you today and next week, is do you know your part on this team? Do you personally know your part in H2O? Because God has made you with some special, awesome gifts. God wants to use you in this body. And you should feel honored by that. You should embrace that. You should feel privileged. And you should be confident in the spiritual gifts and the talents that you have. You don't have to look at someone else and say, man, I wish I had that gift. I wish I was more like them. Or why can't I be like this person? That is not kingdom community, because the way you are is exactly how God planned you to be. As I just read, God has placed you, your part, in this body, and I love this, every one of them just as he wanted them to be. Man, that gives me so much confidence. You are just exactly how God wanted you to be. What an honor to be a part of the church, part of this community. We don't have to be jealous of other people. We don't have to be insecure about other people. Because this tells us that you're just how He wanted you to be, and you're an important part of it. Here's our final point for this morning. Another thing that's going to hinder this kingdom community is when we hide and when we're not honest with each other. The fourth point is you and I need to be honest and open with a trusted friend. Be honest and open with a trusted friend. We're always going to be tempted by things of this world. And in James, it says that these temptations in our life, the sins that we all are tempted by, they start off really small, like a craving, a lust inside of us. And we have that choice at that moment to nip that in the bud or to kind of let it grow. And James says that when that conceives, it gives birth to sin. If we don't control that craving or that lust or whatever our flesh is desiring, it's going to turn into sin. And then it says that sin, as it just keeps going on and it becomes a habit, it can bring just a feeling of death in our life. And nothing removes that feeling unless you understand God's forgiveness for you in that thing. No amount of good deeds, no amount of just trying harder is going to remove that feeling inside of you until you become honest with God and open with God. And I'm talking about with everything. And now here's the crazy, challenging thing that you're going to take with you today. Is if you want to really live in the kingdom community, God says, thank you for telling me that. I already knew that sin in your life, but I love you and thank you for telling me that. Now I would like you to go tell a trusted friend. The Bible says very clearly that we should confess our sins to God so that we can enjoy the forgiveness that He's given us through Jesus Christ. But then He wants us to tell someone else in our lives. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I just think of all the times in my past that I didn't want to confess something that all of those men and my wife in my life that when you tell them, there's this huge weight that's lifted off. And I can't tell you how many times that I've confessed sin and other people have said, man, thank you for sharing that. I struggle with that too. And I have seen confession bring such healing and such intimacy in community that I long for that for every one of you. We would hate for you to experience this Christian community and not know this important fact that as you confess your sins, it is going to bring you closer. You're going to bring hope to other people just through your openness. And nothing is going to derail you more in the Christian life and make you leave this community than hidden sin. Let me say that one more time. Nothing is going to derail you in life more than you hiding. So as unbearable as it is and embarrassing as it is, I'd like you to do that this weekend or this week. Find a trusted friend and tell them the things that are going on inside of you that maybe you haven't told people. You know, when I've told people about my insecurities, it's been embarrassing at times. I tell people about the lusts that I'm having. When I think about the anger, when I think about times that I've exaggerated just so people will think more highly of myself. Those are embarrassing times. But I always meet God in those times. There's no sin that you're going to confess that Jesus didn't die for, and there's no sin that you're going to confess that someone else hasn't done. And I tell you, it is a terrible feeling to feel so alone. I remember a time early on in our marriage when my wife and I both have a really high standard with the internet. And back when we were married, actually, internet, it's going to be hard to believe, internet was just getting started. And so there weren't a lot of, it was quite a luxury. Not everybody even had it yet. And when we first got married, my wife said, you know, this is like really, really, really important to me that you don't look at certain things. And I said, yeah, absolutely. And so we kind of set out our boundaries. Well, at one point in our marriage, I clicked on JCPenney's swimsuit catalog. And I started looking at girls in swimsuits. Now, I know that that's not pornography, but I felt horrible about it. And I looked at it for too long. And months went by, and I just felt my conscience really bothering me. I noticed my times with the Lord were not as intimate. I remember just feeling like, man, something's wrong. And here's the funny thing. Whether it's a big sin or a small sin, it can have the same effect on you. It messes with your mind. And because God loves you and he doesn't want something to grow into something bigger, he'll just keep his finger on it until you yield. And I was just hanging out with some guys, and I don't remember if we were having some kind of prayer time, and we were just talking, and, hey, Matt, how's your spiritual life? I said, it's been kind of dry. I'm just really not hearing from God. And I think one of them asked me, like, well, how's it been with your eyes? And I didn't even want to admit to him, but I said, you know, I clicked on some stuff that I shouldn't have clicked on. And he's like, oh, man, thanks for telling me. You know, let's pray for that. And we prayed, and it was cool. And then I hated that he asked this. He says, did you tell Mary Lynn yet? I said, oh, gosh. No, I haven't. You think I could get by without telling her? He's like, no. No. So I went home, and it was a dreadful conversation. I said, hey, you remember those boundaries that we set up? And she said, yeah. And I said, a couple months ago, I think 6 weeks or 8 weeks had passed. I said, yeah, here's what I did. And she was upset. Not that I had looked at it. I mean, she was upset with that. She was really upset that I waited 2 months to tell her. She said, I can't believe you hid this from me for that long. I said, man, I'm really sorry. You know, I shouldn't have done that. And we decided together to not have the internet in our house for a year. 1 year. That's crazy, isn't it? I used to walk to the library to use the internet. As a grown man, it was very humiliating. But you know, the intimacy with my friendships and the intimacy with my wife and the intimacy with God just came back. And it was sweet. And I didn't care about walking to the library for a year to use the internet. That was a small thing to have peace with God and to have peace in my relationships. And I tell you that embarrassing story so that you won't be so embarrassed. And you would see that regardless of those feelings that you're going to go through of confession and what might come of that and the consequences of it, they're small compared to the upside of kingdom community. And that is a pattern in my life of being extra open with one another so that we can stay close, God and I, and God and our friendships, and my wife and I. And I long for that for you. Is there anything in your life that you've been hiding? Make that right this week. As we close, I'm just going to pray for these things that we went through, that you would not give up on any relationship, but you would be committed to kingdom community. You'd be committed to resolving conflict. And when the enemy's coming in to just try to separate you, you would be wise to his ways and bring each other together even closer. Let's pray for that. God, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your word this morning. And God, we just ask for awesome relationships in this room. Lord, we thank you that it says so clearly that we love because you first loved us. Lord, I don't deserve a relationship with you, but I'm so thankful for it. Even though I've sinned against you thousands of times, you still welcome me back with open arms, and I'm so grateful for that. And Lord, I don't deserve the great relationships that I have with the other pastors and the staff and my wife and the other friendships that we have, but I thank you that that's been a gift from you as I've applied the word to my life. Lord, would you give each person here the confidence, the courage, Lord, fill them with your spirit to be able to apply the word to their relationships. And I pray that as some hard conversations happen today or this week or this month, Lord, that your spirit would be there to just bring compassion, bring understanding, bring truth in, Lord, so that we can reflect your goodness in our relationships. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.